Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast number 14 on the sonnet "Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day" by William Shakespeare. The first heading on your worksheet is subject matter. Although Shakespeare's sonnet was written over 400 years ago, it is still a poem that people all over the world can connect with today. And the main reason for this is that the poem focuses on the universal experience of aging, of getting older, and the passage of time. While today people may choose to make life adjustments in order to try to maintain their health and youthful complexion, for example, eat healthily, exercising regularly, taking vitamins, or even considering plastic surgery, back in Shakespeare's time, it was probably more difficult to fight the signs of aging. The poem, therefore, is about time, and the way it has the power to destroy beauty and ultimately end life itself. In the first quatrain, the poet considers if he should compare his loved one to a summer's day before deciding that maybe the comparison wouldn't do justice to his loved one. Why? Because a summer's day, although it sometimes can be very warm and sunny, can also be disappointingly cold, wet and windy. As the poet says in lines 3 and 4, "Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date." Another key point in the poem is that things of beauty do decline or decay in time. The poet, however, is defined and determined that his loved one's beauty shall never fade. The poet suggests that death will be unable to claim his loved one, who will live on in this poem for so long as men can breed or eyes can see. In other words, through the power of poetry, the poet can preserve his loved one's beauty from the onslaught of time. The next heading is theme. Having considered what the poem is about, can you suggest one key message or theme in the poem? For example, what does the poem say about time? Is it viewed as a creator or destroyer? Or perhaps both? Or what does the poem say about poetry and its power? Or maybe you think the main idea in the poem is the pride of the poet to be able to defy time and to assert proudly that death shall never boast that it claimed his loved one. Briefly write about one theme you see in the poem, and if you can, try to make some link between your chosen theme and the poem's title and the closing rhyming couplet. We move on now to quote 3. It might be helpful to learn by heart 3 lines of the poem to help you understand the key ideas. For example, the opening line, "Shall I compare thee to a summer's day?" This line establishes that much of the ideas and imagery in the poem will revolve around nature and light and darkness. Line 7, "And every fair from fair sometime declines." This image of beauty presents the dilemma that the poet faces, what seems like the impossibility of escaping from the onslaught of time. The line shows how concerned the poet is that time will take away his beloved's youth, beauty and vitality. Choose another line that speaks about a key idea in the poem and say why you find the line important or interesting. The next heading is imagery. Shakespeare uses several descriptive, vivid images in the poem. For example, the tactile image of the rough winds shaking the darling buds of May. What might this image symbolise in the life of the poet's beloved? The image in line 6 of the golden sun being sometimes covered by cloud is also a vivid image from nature, which suggests the idea of shade and darkness overcoming light, which is later linked to death casting its shadow over a person's life. The closing image in the poem, however, is much more positive. It speaks of men breeding and of eyes seeing, and the immortal life of the poem, which will preserve the poet's beloved for all eternity. The poet also uses personification in referring to the eye of heaven shining, the sun's gold complexion, and again when he talks of death bragging about its power in line 11. The fifth heading on your worksheet is language. The language is clearly descriptive, There are several well-chosen nouns, adjectives and verbs such as lovely, temperate, rough winds, darling buds, summer's lease. Some of the language might also seem a little old-fashioned or archaic, but in a poem that praises the power of poetry, what lines in the poem do you think are most powerful? The next heading is form. This famous poem by Shakespeare is, of course, a Shakespearean sonnet. You can read more about this form in the Zoom In quick reference card in your Poetry Speaks textbook. The poem is 14 lines long, composed of three quatrains and a rhyming couplet. Note too that the poet also uses anaphora regularly in the poem. This is the use of repeated words or phrases at the beginning of lines. For example, the word and repeated in lines 6 and 7, the word nor repeated in lines 10 and 11, and the phrase so long repeated in lines 13 and 14. We move on now to sound. One feature of a Shakespearean sonnet is, of course, the regular pattern of end rhyme. The pattern of the first four lines is A, B, A, B. Can you work out the rest of the rhyme scheme? If you find this difficult, you can look back over the notes on the Shakespearean sonnet in your Poetry Speaks textbook. Other aspects of sound techniques that feature in the poem are assonance and alliteration. For example, look at line 4, where the poet wants to make the point that summer is fleeting and passes very quickly. So, Shakespeare writes, "And summer's lease hath all too short a date." When read aloud, those repeated S sounds in summer's and in lease seem to capture how easily summertime slips past us, especially when the weather is disappointing. This is an example of sibilance. What type of sound effect can you see or hear in the words dimmed and declines? Is this an example of assonance or alliteration? The eighth heading on your worksheet is tone and mood. The tone of the poem is one of pride and defiance. The initial tone of regret and later dread in the opening eight lines see the poet think about examples of the visible impact of time on nature, the images of buds being shaken from trees and of blue skies clouding over show clearly the poet's concern that every fair from fair sometime declines. The change to a more hopeful tone, however, is signalled in line 9 with the word but. This is called a volta. It is a turning point in the poem. From here to the end of the poem, Shakespeare stands up to time and defies its power to destroy beauty. The rhyming couplet sees a celebratory and proud tone as the poet asserts that his poetry can preserve his beloved's beauty forevermore. The mood then is how you, the reader, react to the poem, that is, what feelings or thoughts you had as you studied the poem. Did you feel the threat of time or sense that time's destructive potential is inevitable? Maybe a feeling that life is short, or perhaps you felt more hopeful in that the poem reminded you to enjoy life to its fullest. The final heading on your worksheet is personal response. Some students feel Shakespeare is irrelevant to their lives because he writes about things that happened over 400 years ago. And yet, this poem is extremely popular and often quoted. Why is this? Probably in part because the poem deals with a subject that has confronted human beings for millennia, and that is the passing of time, and how time can take away a person's vitality and youthfulness until eventually we all wander in death's shadow. What is your own response to the poem? For example, what did you think of the poem's main message? Did you like the way Shakespeare used images and descriptive writing in the poem? Did you find the poem to be depressing? Or maybe you took some hope and optimism from it, in that perhaps part of us can be immortalized through poetry. Maybe you felt confident that death doesn't simply end everything, and that something of life's beauty may be preserved through art, or writing, or painting, or photography, or some other human endeavor. Think about one or two of these ideas before writing your own personal response to the poem into your worksheet.